Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Did we catch that? Maybe. Okay. All right. Hey, good morning. We're here to talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. We're here to talk with you about whatever you want to talk about. Incredibly long night for the General Assembly in the House. On the House side last night, the testimony actually ended a little over an hour ago, hour and a half ago maybe. If that, 1,000 people testified, most against the invasive gun legislation that the Senate bill, this is the House bill now, this is Senate Bill 281, which banned a number of weapons and want the governor wants you to register and fingerprint if you plan on buying a gun in Maryland. And on Friday, the governor addressed us, and you know, not to let me just wake you up here this morning, and here's what our governor had to say. Then he only addressed the supporters of the bill, not the majority of the citizens that were in Annapolis yesterday. As Marylanders, we have a legacy. We have a legacy and a responsibility. And that legacy and that responsibility is to lead, to transform the loss of a person standing at the grave of a child, and to transform that loss and that pain into action, into something that saves lives. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean? We have a legacy and a responsibility, and that legacy and that responsibility is to lead, to transform the loss of the person standing at the grave of a child, and to transform that loss and that pain into action, into something that saves lives. Words. Words. So, to make sure that we transform that loss and that pain into action, into something that saves lives, we are going to turn every law-abiding citizen in the state of Maryland that owns a firearm into a criminal. And I have directed our General Assembly, our senators and our representatives to make every effort possible, despite the wishes of the population of the state of Maryland and the voters of the state of Maryland. I have directed them and twisted arms and made promises and made threats so that we can accomplish our goal of transforming that loss and that pain into action, into something that saves lives. Of course, most of that was mine. The governor didn't say that. The end of the quote, let me read his quote again and close the quotes. As Marylanders, we have a legacy and a responsibility, and that legacy and that responsibility is to lead.
Yay!
To transform the loss of the person standing at the grave of a child, and to transform that loss and that pain into action.
Yay!
Into something that saves lives.
Yay!
Close quotes. So we will continue to allow criminals to roam the streets of our cities and our towns. We will continue to allow criminals to obtain guns by illegal means, and to shoot our other citizens and to kill them in the streets, while the law-abiding citizens whom we will disarm will cower in their homes, waiting for the door to be broken down, waiting for the criminals to come into their homes with no way to defend themselves.
Yay!
Where is this going? I have no idea. I have no idea. I thought possibly that the Senate would modify the governor's gun bill to some degree. They did not. They voted on it. The Senate passed the governor's gun bill, Senate Bill 281, despite the wishes of the people, despite the hours and hours of testimony. Quite frankly, the senators were clueless when it comes to what they were voting on, when it comes to the makeup of the firearms that they consider as assault weapons and copycats. No clue. Or were they? In this same story from television station WBAL, by the way, Beretta wooed by other states due to the gun bill. As a broad gun control measure aims to ban assault weapons in Maryland, neighboring states are trying to woo away a Beretta factory. How about the Beretta factory, whose employees would be unable to buy some of the guns it produces? Maryland State Senate President Thomas V. Mike Miller noted Friday that senators changed the bill to enable Beretta to continue manufacturing and selling firearms. What hypocrites. But he said the stump company still isn't happy with the bill. Why would they be? Why would they be? On Thursday, West Virginia House Speaker Rick Thompson said he had written to Beretta to offer his state as a location because it's where people understand and care about your industry. Early in the week, Virginia Republican Lieutenant Governor candidate and investment company executive Pete Snyder wrote to the company touting Virginia's favorable tax and gun climate. Why wouldn't they? You got a big manufacturing plant in southern Maryland, a couple hundred people employed, I'm sure. Hey, they're not the only gun manufacturer in Maryland. Lou, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I have a question about people who already own guns in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
What does the law do to them?
What does the law do to them? Boy, you know, that's a good question. There is a clause in there, and it's been, and it, listen, this law has been amended tremendously this week.
Right, and that's why I can't figure out.
I can't
if
either.
You already own, if you own, hypothetically, a shotgun, a 30-06, and a revolver, what is the immediate effect? Now, we know what the eventual effect is, even
right.
if they're not coming for that person today.
Right.
And anybody thinks, you know, $50 is going to stay $50.
Oh, no.
Thinks that they can register their car for $35.
Exactly.
So we know where this is going, but what is the immediate effect, do you know?
No, and the reason I don't, I looked at the...
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Well, thank you, because I don't know the answer to that question, because I looked at those amendments. I went online and looked at those amendments that were rejected and withdrawn and accepted, and I can't, not knowing... You know, A through E on the bill, substatute 1 and all that. I could not understand some of the language.
Yeah, it's wheels within wheels.
What's that?
It's wheels
within wheels. Exactly right. Exactly right. And what I think I read was that if you owned a firearm after a certain date, you will need to register that firearm before another certain date comes up.
Okay, so nobody's grandfathered.
I don't believe so, but I don't quote me on that because I don't know the answer.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, neither am I.
Because, you know, there were amendments and amendments and amendments and amendments heard yesterday as well.
Right now, in Canada, where they had a registration on long guns, which they gave up because it cost them 100 times more to administer than they thought.
Right.
The rate of compliance I've read is 16%.
Yeah,
but you don't know what it really was because
right,
the people didn't comply.
Well,
we had
under this this handgun bill, and this law is still in effect. If you sell a firearm, a handgun in Maryland, you have to provide a fired shell casing from that firearm to the Maryland State Police.
Yeah,
they lost their funding. They cannot keep that database going. They lost their funding under Robert Ehrlich. However, the law has never been changed. So shell casings are piling up in a bin somewhere. What good is the law doing to prevent crimes if nobody's keeping up with the database?
Right.
And in the first place, it didn't do any good anyway.
Well, you can adulterate the barrel of a gun to change it.
Well, you can adulterate the barrel of the gun, but we're talking about a shell casing. So we're talking about the impression of the firing pin.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
You can buy firing pins and replace a firing pin if you wanted to after you buy the firearm. Just go to your gun shop and say, hey, I need a firing pin and my Beretta broke. I need a firing pin. Oh, here you go.
Yeah, and there must be. You know, I don't know what the date would be when technology changed. Presumably, if you own a gun that, a top-break Webley from World War II.
Right.
There weren't any computers to register it. So, yeah, you know, if you're really motivated,
sure.
I guess you could find the paperwork. But there have been a couple guns sold since then.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to know what anybody owns?
Oh, who knows?
And what kind of fool is going to step forward and comply with this thing?
Exactly.
And here's the list for confiscation.
Here's the situation. All right. You want to buy a handgun. I want to buy a handgun. I go to a federal firearms dealer. I fill out the application. I wait. I take my course online, and I wait till the state police does a background check. All right? And if for any reason, maybe I have a misdemeanor that I committed 20 years ago that carried a jail sentence of a year or more. Well, now I'm red flagged because I can't buy a gun. Maybe I've lived a model life, you know? Maybe I gave my heart to the Lord and I just, I'm a changed man, but I've still got this misdemeanor from 20 years ago on my record. It's not that you were found guilty or not that it was only a misdemeanor. You think a felon can't own a gun? No. If you committed a misdemeanor in this state that carries a potential jail sentence of 1 year or more, guess what? You can't own a firearm. Okay? So, now I've applied. I passed the test. I passed the background check. My background's clean. I get my gun in 10 to 14 days, let's say, which is about right because of as far behind as the state police is. Okay. In that same 14 days, had I been a criminal, I could put the word out on the street that I got $400 or $500 to spend and I'm looking for a Glock 9 or I'm looking for something because I need a 9mm to protect myself. Guess what? Somebody's going to sell me a stolen gun on the street for cash, no questions asked. If I'm a criminal.
Right.
So, I already have larceny in my heart. I'm already a criminal. I buy my gun illegally. What do I care about state police? What do I care about taking a course online?
Alan, laws keep honest people honest.
Laws are supposed to keep honest people honest.
But people who don't care to comply. You know, I come from a long line of petty criminals.
My granddaddy was a horse thief, huh?
Actually, he wasn't my granddaddy, but you go back far enough, I think there is one.
Sure.
But I had another ancestor who was a legitimate businessman. They were poor. They were poor for generations, and all he wanted to do was be lower middle class, take care of his wife and children.
Yep.
And he failed at everything he tried until he opened a bar. And for the first time in his life, he could take care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the law changed. And he became a criminal. Because it was illegal to sell liquor in the United States.
Yep.
So he did the only thing he could do. Having failed at everything else first, he closed the bar, moved around the corner, opened a speakeasy.
Yep.
I don't know anybody who's going to comply with this. I mean, there might be somebody sufficiently low IQ, but of good character.
Well, certainly.
They're going to register.
That was my first point, that this law will make law-abiding citizens into criminals, turn them into criminals.
Oh, my. How many you think? A couple hundred thousand?
Probably.
At least.
Of those of us that remain?
Speaking of which, have you thought about having, maybe a 15-minute section of your show devoted to real estate sales?
Should I?
I'm not kidding. I have a house in Towson.
That one's...
And I've been fixing it up on the assumption that I'd stay here the rest of my life.
Right.
But it's for sale.
Oh, that's good. You know, see, that's what's going to happen. We're going to lose our tax.
No, it's not going to. Yeah, I mean, it really is for sale.
No, we're going to lose our citizens. We're going to lose our tax base. We're going to lose our manufacturing.
Oddly enough, you won't lose too many criminals, I'll bet.
No, because you won't. Now,
no.
You know, if your house is on the market and you find a place and, you know, you move out of your house and your house sits empty before it sells, someone's going to come along and want your copper wire and your plumbing, and they're going to, you know, they're going to go in at will and strip your house. And, you know, you won't be there to investigate it, but your insurance will have to pay for it if you still have the house covered.
Yeah, which means I'll raise the rates on my neighbors.
Yeah. You know, the hypocrisy of these people is absolutely unbelievable.
Oddly enough, if you look at the statistics, and I know they say they want to save the lives of children.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's a 74-year-old woman.
Right.
And a young woman broke into her house last summer, and she battered her.
Mm-hmm.
She broke her face. And the woman has had extensive medical treatment and emotional counseling.
I have no doubt, yeah.
If she'd had a gun, this little old lady, and she's a very sweet woman, she's incredibly nice, would have been able to be equal
Correct.
To the woman who broke into her house and beat her up.
Yeah, exactly.
But the absence of a gun... It didn't put a child's life at risk, but it certainly put an old lady's life at risk.
Exactly.
And if she's alive, it's only because of good medical care. It's only by chance.
Mm, mm, mm. And there's stories like that all over Maryland. All over Maryland.
Well, there are going to be a lot more stories of people who are buried at an early age because they couldn't defend themselves.
Ah. There you go. And hey, call, you got
you, really
you got
say, not,
wait. You got 911. You call a guy with a gun to help you out.
And in 20 minutes, if he's not called away for a bank robbery,
then they do what they do. They investigate the crime rather than prevent it.
And my source of this is Freakonomics. For every child killed by guns in the United States, 10 die in private pool accidents.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's just
and nobody needs to own a private pool. There are public pools available. All they need to do is pass a law.
See, and you don't need. Who needs to own a public? Who needs to own a private pool?
If you have a private pool, you have to have a Red Cross certified lifeguard or close the pool.
There you go. You got to register your pool.
And this is no joke. You could save 10 children.
Sure.
Isn't every life precious?
Sure.
They don't give a damn about saving anybody.
So are 3,000 abortions every day.
It's all about a parasite getting elected as president.
All right. Lou, we got to move along.
Thanks
for your call. Take care. Always a pleasure. We've got Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning, and I hope you're well.
Well, I am, and you're up early.
Yes, I get up every day at 5 o'clock around. Unfortunately, I just wake up.
Well, if you've been doing it a long time, it's built in by now.
Yes, it's built in. When I was in South Africa, the last time I went down there to see the heart transplant when it originated.
Michael DeBakey.
The houses down there all are protected by a ridgeback dog. A ridgeback was mixed with a Great Dane. And this is the only dog that will attack a lion. And when I was down there, it was very interesting, the situation. And I said, I'm going to get a ridgeback. But here in America, they've domesticated the ridgeback, and it's a much milder type of dog. So,
they call that a Rhodesian ridgeback, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rhodesia doesn't exist anymore.
Correct.
They divided it up into different countries.
Yep.
And it was very interesting that this dog has been domesticated here in America, and it hasn't got the aggressiveness. And I thought to myself, with this gun business and protecting yourself, you should have a dog in your house to protect your property as well as yourself, because people are terrified of the Ridgeback.
Well, I think you're right, and I think our version here in the United States is the pit bull, which is usually a pretty mild-mannered dog, but the pit bull has become a symbol of aggression because they're used in dog fighting and things like that, and people are afraid of pit bulls. People are afraid of large dogs in general. When I take my dog out to walk it during the daytime, people walking on the street tend to switch sides very quickly, because even though she's a large, lovable yellow lab, people are frightened by large dogs, and I think your point is well taken. However, if someone breaks into my house and my dog happens to be in the crate at night, I want to make sure my shotgun is nearby, Charles.
I'm of the same thoughts, and I never lock the dogs up. I let them run.
Sure.
Through the place, and I feel very protected, and these dogs are a very necessary entity, because when I was in Africa down there, black people were not permitted guns, and the guards of a house would carry a knob kiri.
Yes, I know what that is.
You do know what they are?
Yes.
I brought back a couple knob kiris, and on the airplane they told me I had a dangerous weapon, so I said, please put it in a safe place, and I'll pick it up when I leave the plane.
All right. Charles, thank you for your call.
And thank you.
By the way, your name was brought up in conversation about the radio show last night by some listeners.
Oh, why, thank you.
Indeed. I didn't bring it up.
And I want to tell you that you are my travel now. I listen to your show as much as I can, and you are part of my travel experiences. You bring up my whole past.
Well, if I remember, keep listening, I'll tell a story about a friend of mine who shot a large male lion in South Africa a couple of months ago with a bow and arrow, and his tale of excitement. So stay tuned.
Well, I wanted to tell you on one of my calls of the horrible things that I've seen that they do to animals in Africa. For instance, a 10-foot giraffe, they kill it and amputate the tail for a feather duster.
Right.
That it is so horrible.
Animals
and
I understand that, Charles. Yes, sir. And you know, the only economic relief that folks get over there, and I'm not talking about poachers, are from legitimate sport hunters who provide funding and provide meat to the villages and things like that, hard earned.
Correct.
Because the poachers, they leave whatever they kill in the bush. They don't take it out.
No.
So, all right, Charles. Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. You know, always a pleasure hearing from Charles. Clyde Sports Shop, annual 10-day sale started yesterday through the 10th. They've got some great specials on Pfluger and Shakespeare rods and reels. They have the great surf and pier combo on sale for just $34.95, and all the ugly sticks are on sale. All the ugly sticks are on sale, and those are Shakespeare. You might want to check that out. They also have a great try-on. Which is a bait caster for you bass fishermen out there for just $99.95. And then pens are also on sale. You can save on all the popular pen reels. Don't forget, you can fill your reels with Strand and Trilene monofilament from just 1 cent per yard. Bring your empty spools in. They'll fill them with fresh line for half the regular price. In other words, if it's 4 cents a yard, they'll fill it for 2 cents a yard. So make sure you stop on down to Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline is 410-247-3474. 247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners.
Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linux spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux now offer the new Linux Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linux is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linux spray-on bedliner.
Had some interaction with the folks at Linux yesterday. Stopped to see Jack in Catonsville, Jack Carver. His birthday is today, so we want to wish him a happy birthday. While I was there, a customer picked up some speakers that had been coated with the Linux material to make them weatherproof for being outside. This company is well-known here in Maryland and supplies speakers and components to concerts from the top artists all over the world. So Linux, originating right here in Baltimore, those speakers are coated. They go out all over the country and all over the world for outside concerts. Those big giant speakers that you see, that black finish on there, that's Linux. Keep them safe in an outdoor environment. Now, Bobby Hawkins down at Glen Burnie, Linux Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, actually donated a nice bedliner, 8-foot bedliner, to the National Wild Turkey Federation, whose banquet was last night, which I attended, and went for a really nice price, and we appreciate him doing that. He's also donated a Linux spray-on bedliner, 8-foot, over-the-rail job, to the Quality Deer Management Association banquet coming up on the 16th. If you'd like to attend that, just shoot me an email, and I'll get you the information. So we want to say thanks to the folks at Linux for supporting this show. Happy birthday to Jack. I just let you know that they do way more than just bedliners.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition, and you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland Citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I can hear the bullfrog calling John in Catonsville. Good morning, John. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Alan. How are you?
I'm all good. What's up?
Well, as a fellow criminal,
I have a few issues with the governor's gun laws.
Really?
One of the first things is it up to us to figure out what's illegal and what's not, or is there going to be some sort of a public posting that lists what you can't have?
Oh, you'll have to know what the law is. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of firearms that are listed in this bill. Now, I know that one of the things that was amended was the thumbhole stock, because there are a number of hunting firearms that have thumbhole stocks, and they had no clue what a thumbhole stock was. They thought it was assault rifle that had only assault rifles had thumbhole stocks. I guess my 20 gauge H&R deer slug gun with a thumbhole stock is somehow a military weapon that shoots a one slug at a time, and I have to break the action every time I want to reload it. So, yeah.
I hear you. Another question. A lot of my guns are insured.
Yep.
But I bought them before there was any type. You didn't have to do any paperwork.
Right.
Now, are they going to go to the insurance companies to get a list to see what you have? Or
you're asking some great questions. I don't know the answer to that. You know, you'll have to read the bill. It doesn't say anything about there, but it doesn't say they're not going to. So, I mean, it's all open to interpretation. And once the law is signed into law, if it ever is, I think what will happen is, we'll have to know what the interpretation of that law is. I mean, they can pass one thing, but once it's written into the laws of Maryland, how it is written is also sometimes where the devil in the details comes into play.
Right.
So I wish I had the answer.
So somebody breaks in your house, you use the shotgun to defend your family.
Right.
Police come to your house, they do the report. While they're there, they're going to say, oh, do you have any other guns?
Of course.
Before they throw them onto the trunk of the police car, do they pick through them and say, you're not allowed to have this one, you're not allowed to have that one?
Again, John, a great question.
And the cop's not going to know.
These are all speculation, John. I don't know the answer. You know, I mean, I really don't.
Okay.
I think what they want to do is everybody to just roll over and comply. I have a 22 Magnum Winchester lever action that I got when I was 13. I want to make sure you get that one on the list.
Right.
And I have a nylon 66
I'm going to bring that up because I had a nylon 66 that ended up missing.
You know how many people have had nylon 66? That was
a lot.
Very popular gun, yes.
I was at the gun show in Howard County, $350. I think I paid $89 for mine back in the 70s.
My dad, that was the first gun my dad bought me. I've told this story probably too many times, but he bought me a Remington nylon 66. He knew I liked to hunt, knew I wanted to hunt small game. The nylon 66 was the hottest thing on the market. When it came out, I was 12. Nylon 66 in 1966, I was 12 years old. I was ready to hunt. I'd take him a hunter safety. Let's rock and roll. Dad bought me a nylon 66. We shot it. I said, Dad, this is a great gun. Shoots a lot of bullets. And, you know, it's fun to shoot. It's light. I can handle it as a kid. And, unfortunately, I can't hunt with it. What do you mean? I said, it's a semi-automatic 22. I can't hunt with it in Pennsylvania. Not allowed to hunt with it. Oh, my dad wasn't sharp on that. So he took it back, traded it on a lever-action 22 Magnum tube-fed with a scope on it. And, man, that was – I still love shooting that gun. You know, many years ago, I had groundhogs, chipmunks, crows, squirrels, rabbits, you name it. I went after it with that 22 Magnum. Okay, so nylon 66 was gone. About 12, 13, 14 years ago, I was managing a gun store in East Baltimore, which no longer exists. Guy walked in with a nylon 66, brown one, beautiful condition. I said, you know what, buddy? That was my first gun. And he goes, it was. He said, well, meaningless to me. I don't have anything in it. And I bought it. And I bought it. So I replaced that gun that my dad bought me, and I still have it. I love that gun. It's a very nice gun. So
I wasn't going to pay $350 for it, but
I think I paid $60.
Yep.
Yeah. So
anyway, that gun turned up missing.
Oh boy.
I was going to report it. I mean, this has been a couple of years now. I wasn't sure if it was stolen or I left it somewhere.
Right.
It's just one of them things that kind of, you know, fell off the shelf and I never followed up on it. But if I make the report now, is that going to be the same deal when they come to the house to make the report?
I don't know. Did you fill out the paperwork?
I did not.
Well, if you didn't fill out any paperwork, if you bought it, where's the record? Who knows that you had it at Nylon 66?
Yeah, but if I wanted to get the insurance money, they're going to want a police report. So,
oh, I see. Well,
yeah.
you got to weigh it, buddy. You got to weigh what kind of crap you got to weigh what kind of crap you want to step in.
Yeah. Hey, just to follow up and the call. We bought out of state. I got another 8 years here to retire, and then we're going.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Heil Hitler.
Oh man, I'm sorry you said that. All right, John. Thanks. Yeah. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Yep. Bye bye. Hey, today's smart, green, and growing tip from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources. Did you know that letting your faucet run for 5 minutes uses about as much energy as letting a 60-watt light bulb run for 14 hours? Did you know that? Neither did I. Remember to turn off the faucet when you aren't using it. And consider replacing your old faucet with a high-efficiency model. Thank you, Department of Natural Resources. We appreciate that tip. If you do not comply, we will come to your house and replace your faucet. Who leaves the water running when you're not using it, for God's sake?
Hey, honey, I'm going to work. Look, just let that faucet on over there. We're trying to waste energy today, okay? If you hear it running, no problem. That's on me. I just want you to let that run all day long. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you waste a lot of money showering. I think we should all quit showering too. Maybe that'll be regulated. The ruling class is running amok in Annapolis. Good grief. 410 WCBM 680. Thank God we have a guest coming in the next hour. We've got Paul Piavas coming from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. If I remember his title correctly, it is the Chesapeake Bay Finfish Project Leader. He's the guy who handles all the reports on all the fish in the Chesapeake Bay. Striped bass. And today's show is going to be on yellow perch. In the next hour, we're going to talk about yellow perch. There's a big event going on today in Northeast. The CCA Maryland Perch Jerkin Festival is taking place up there. And if you have nothing to do today, take the kids up and go fishing. It's a free fishing area, so you don't need a license. The adults can take the kids and fish and enjoy the day. And we'll hear more from Paul Piavas. I know Paul. I shouldn't know how to pronounce his name. Paul Piavas here at the when we come back from the news at the top of the hour. Let's talk to Claude in Arbutus. Good morning.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So you're saying if somebody was arrested for a misdemeanor, they wasn't convicted, even if it was expunged, they can't have a gun?
I said if they were convicted of a misdemeanor. And just paid a fine and walked away.
Oh, I got you.
If the penalty would have been more than a year in jail, you are suspect.
Okay, another dumb question. Now, if you got 15-round magazines from the old before they put this ban in effect, are they still good?
Yeah, do they hold 15 bullets? Apparently, they're still good. Yep.
You just can't buy anymore.
Right. Well, this bill hasn't gone into effect yet. It hasn't been passed.
Right.
All right? So I want people to understand that this bill has not been passed. The Senate passed its version of the bill. Hey, thanks for the call, Claude.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man. The Senate passed its version of Senate Bill 281, okay, this week. Look, they're fast-tracking this thing. You know, usually important legislation gets put off to the end of the session, which is the end of, I think April 8th this year. Okay? This thing is incredibly fast-tracked. Incredibly fast-tracked. The Senate heard it and voted on it. Let me start over. Here's how the process works. A bill is introduced in the Senate. It is heard in committee. There are usually 10, 11, 12 people on the committee. The Senate committee heard this bill. They passed it out of committee. It could have died in committee, but it passed out of committee 7-4. Then it went to the full Senate. Doesn't have to do that till the end of the session, but it went within days. Senate passed it. They're pushing it. They're rushing it. They're pushing it. They're rushing it. Understand that, because they don't want the backlash during the session. Then the House had their version. That bill was heard in committee yesterday. Thousands of people showed up to testify. Testimony went to 3:45 this morning. All right? Ran about 10-1 against the bill. Now the House will take their version of the bill. They'll hear the amendments. They'll try to, if they pass it out of the House committee, then it will go to the full House, the whole full House of Delegates. Okay? So if the House of Delegates passes their version of the bill, the Senate has already passed its version of the bill, the two branches then have to come together and pass the comprehensive bill after negotiation and reconciliation and things like that. Once the House and the Senate have both passed the bill, then it goes to the governor for his signature. So we've lost half the battle so far. The battle still continues in the House of Delegates. The House of Delegates may amend the bill. They may change the bill. They may not allow the bill out of committee, which I think they will probably allow the bill out of committee and it will be voted on by the full House. If it passes, the most restrictive gun laws in the United States of America will be passed and turned into law right here in the state of Maryland. The most restrictive gun laws, including licensing, registration, fingerprinting, training, magazine restrictions, cosmetic restrictions. About 140 firearms are on the list to be banned in Maryland. There will be restrictions on ammunition. By the way, there's also a bill that's been entered into the House to put a 50% sales tax on ammunition. 50% sales tax on ammunition. Now, you're going to buy a box of high-powered rifle ammo? You're going to go to the to Clyde Sports Shop and get a box of ammo for your .30-06 to go deer hunting? What's that going to cost you, $25, $30? Well, just add another $15 for tax on there. Why not? Hey, while we're going for guns, may as well go for ammunition. May as well. The most restrictive gun laws in the United States are on the cusp of being passed here in Maryland. The Senate has passed its version of that bill. The bill was heard in the House yesterday. Over 1,000 people testifying against it. Citizens of Maryland. Now, does it matter? One Howard County delegate said it'd be political suicide if I voted for this bill. My calls are running 80-1 in favor of the bill. 8-1 in favor of the bill. You got to understand something, people. As hunters, we're outnumbered. About 3-4% of us here in Maryland hunt. That's minuscule. Politically, non-existent number. Doesn't matter. One of the senators I mentioned last week ran his emails through the voter registration database. Found out that only about 50% of the people who emailed him were registered to vote. If he got 5,000 emails, he immediately discounted 2,500 of them. Because guess what? You don't matter if you don't vote. You don't matter if you don't vote. You don't matter if you don't vote. One more time. You do not matter if you do not vote. If you have no influence on a politician's political life, you do not exist. Do you understand? It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. And prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. And now, through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in the contest. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local Fish and Citation Center or check out the fishing rulebook or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov. G-O-V. For all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program, that is www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that snare, that stomp will make you a believer.
All right, buck fever. I was talking to some hunters this week, and we were talking about that. One fella said, my knees still shake. Not when I see a deer, not when I shoot a deer, but after I start shaking, after I make the shot. Talked to another fellow who was in a tree stand. He said, I had deer come in. He said, I was surprised by one of them, and he said, I knew I was there to shoot it, and I've shot hundreds of deer. But he said, I was acting like a schoolboy. I couldn't find him in the scope, and I miss. He said, man, but that's what we're all about. We're schoolboys. We love it. That's why we hunt. I had to agree. I can't tell you. Let me tell you the story about the lion real quick. A friend of mine shot a lion in South Africa with a bow, a big male lion. It was at 17 yards. They'd stalked it. It was laying down. When he shot the lion, he shot it straight through both lungs. The lion basically stood up on its, you know, just on its front legs and was dying, you know, bleeding out its last. Shot with a bow and arrow, a 90-pound bow, shot straight through, 400-pound animal. It didn't move off the spot. The guide said, shoot your lion again. And my friend said, I don't want to. It's going to die. Let it alone. He said, shoot your lion again. So they kind of went back and forth. So he shot the lion again. Made another good shot. Lion is dead on its feet.
but still standing just on its front legs. Shoot your lion again. And I can understand this. I can understand it from a guide's point of view. He wants the animal dead before, you know, before anything else. The smart thing, of course, would have been to just back away and, you know, let the lion expire and go back and retrieve it. Shoot your lion again. So my friend reached, as he was reaching for the third arrow, the lion turned around and caught the movement of him pulling the arrow out of the quiver and immediately charged. And the friend of my friend who was accompanying him shot the lion with his rifle, and the guide finished the lion with his rifle from both sides. My friend was a bit upset, but he understood, you know, why, because the lion was coming right for him. But he said, you know, if we'd have just stopped and backed out and, you know, let the lion expire, everything would have been fine. But he believes that the charge was initiated by the lion seeing the movement that he wouldn't have had to make. Yeah, interesting story. Long story short, dead lion. Magnificent creature. Big cat. Email. Alan, I'm 53, very confused about what happens to my shotguns that my dad bought me when I first started hunting at 10 years old, and other firearms I own that are older than me and some much older, question mark. Not to mention the ones I've had that I have bought more recently. Our governor is like watching a high school election take place and the worst candidate just won and the whole school throws a pep rally for him. I'm not going to say that. And he talks about my quote, the legacy. What the hell? My legacy is being honest, work hard for what I have, treat my family well, do my best at everything I do, and I'm passing that on to my kids. I am amazed at how this country has changed in just my lifetime. Thanks, Alan, for helping make some sense. Have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you, John. Appreciate that email. Hey, coming up next, Paul Piavas, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We're going to spend the next hour talking about perch fishing, and we want you to call with your questions on fishing. There you go. We've got a lot of topics we're going to cover. We've got a lot of stuff going into effect yesterday and today as far as striped bass and things like that. So pay attention. We're going to be fishing.